At Harvard, you expect your internet access to be perfect. When you're a small organization, what they do is they put their website on a hosting service because they can't get a good internet connection. The best DSLs today go down. 1%, they took 99% uptime. That means 7 hours a month out. Not acceptable. So what we've been doing is looking at technology that will allow you to take two cheap DSL lines and put them into a Linux box and have them be combined so that if this one's up 99%, that up 99%, we've got 99.99 going for us, and it's not down at all. We've been doing that for quite a while here. And
one of them's wireless, like a microwave link. Yeah. You'll never be down low.
Yeah, we have a wireless link to the top of the Pru off my roof, and two cheap DSL lines. The whole thing costs $1,000. I've got three T1 lines. For the price, 2 years ago when we started, my T1 line cost me $1,200 a month for one. Now I have three of them equivalents, each one of which is pretty shabby. But together, they're phenomenal. I'm up all the time. I'm down, you know, so I'm playing hosting service. Now, what is it to play hosting? Well, maybe a lot of nonprofits in some area could get one of them to be the host for everyone else so that their stuff is not on somebody else's machines. Although I'm a strong advocate of your database should be under your roof. Your information should be here in your shop and you connect to it easily, locally. And I'm trying to understand the technical problem of what it takes to do that. And so we built this thing we call SkyPipes, which connects internet pipes. They're called pipes, right? Internet ISP connections. And here are three different ISPs are aggregated by this box. Now you can buy a box like this. And to install one with two of them for redundancy and no single point of failure costs about $20,000 right now. And we've just built this into a Linux box that we could, it's a $1,000 box with two network cards. So we have no idea what we're going to charge for this, but we could help a lot of people to have extremely good internet connections. And then they maybe could have their own internet connection. And 5 years from now, it'll be cheaper still and more reliable still. And then every organization could have under its own roof all their own community computer and everyone can reach it. And maybe then at that time we'll really just be a business and we're supplying people like that, others will.
You have to give a huge amount of credit to the Bulgarian kernel patch writer who made it all happen to begin with.
We watch the technology and what's going on. There's been talk out there that the latest Linux kernel might be able to do pipes aggregation and be agile enough to know that one went down and we could go to another one. And it's a Bulgarian and a guy in Brazil, right?
The guy in Brazil, I think a Russian.
He's a Russian. Yeah. So we get these two guys who are working in the Linux community patching the kernel. And they're both of them former Soviet types, I guess. The proof of concept seemed to be missing. There's been a lot of talk on the web in the last several months. And so we jumped in about 6 weeks ago,
yeah,
8 weeks ago.
Took their work.
We took their work and went downstairs, and Derek and I sat, and we had what they were talking about doing, and we read their suggestions, and we read them three or four or five times, and Derek and I stepped through them line by line, and we found two problems.
Two typos,
and we fixed these problems. And we ran a three-pipe aggregator downstairs.
It's running right now.
It's running right now.
We're running for 6 weeks without interruption.
Right. And we tell this guy, you know their reaction? I've forgotten which one. One had a rather, said the Russian was sort of friendly. The other guy said, I wrote on my website, as you'll see it here, that we used his work. He said, I am not endorsing you.
Yeah, right.
He's afraid we're a .com. I'm not endorsing you. Take my name off. I said, I'll be glad to take your name off. I was just trying to say we used your work. You know, it's great. You did lovely stuff, and we've got it working. And then this work, which we felt we're about to announce, and maybe we'll start to get some business, I put on the back burner to do the WYSIWYG project, because Mozilla suggested we could do WYSIWYG. Right after the OSCOM conference, there was all this talk about those WYSIWYG editors, and I said, this is our time to jump in. So we switched to that right now.
We're not far from writing it. I mean, just needs the database interface has to be propped in place.
Right.
And I've written the all the subnet detection software already, and I'm having a couple technical problems integrating that with it.
See, what Jesse's talking about is that a typical organization will use this tool and put behind it things like their web servers and their mail servers and their names. domain name and all that stuff and all their workstations, and maybe there'll be another interior wall, and the whole thing will be a phenomenally powerful corporate network, but it'll only cost 2 Linux boxes and some code from us. So it should be, we should get some buzz out of that one.
Yeah, I don't know when this stuff is going to turn up in the kernel, or if they're even, if the...
I don't see much sign of that.
Or if the kernel organizations are going to use their patches or...
Yeah, can you imagine people in Washington say you're going to let a Russian and a Bulgarian write the Linux kernel when it comes for the security side? I'm just joking.
Yeah.
It's amazing. We're getting smart people working on this stuff all over the world. Anyway,
But I'm sure people like Paul Vixie and the other people who are Rusty Russell. These are guys who are intimately involved with technologies that overlap with what these Bulgarian and Russian guys have done. And I know they're aware of the need to address what's called dead gateway detection, so they can just fail over to another connection. And it's got to be in one of the upcoming kernels. Sooner or later, regardless of whether or not they...
Whatever we do. Right, it's coming. We just sort of watch the technology come along to solve problems. If we can contribute, great. If it just happens to us, that's fine. I'd like to think of ourselves as like the open source integrators. And we watch anything that's going on that looks like it could be a generally useful tool and just plug it right into SkyBuilders.
You know, and actually, in our intercourse with these two guys, I think we're probably the first people who got it to work.
Yeah.
They didn't even get it to work because they didn't catch their own errors, and other people who claimed to get it to work.
It didn't work. There have been papers on the web and in print, in System Admin magazine.
Yeah.
They said the new Linux kernel at 2.4 should be able to do this, and they published an article on how to do it, and it didn't work. And the reason it didn't work was the kernel still needed to be patched in another area, and these guys solved that problem.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty funny. Now since we've done it, though, like just in the last 2 months, there are probably other people, or very possibly other people, have done it.
Maybe.
Well, just let me say, the next OSCOM conference,
where is it going to be?
It's going to be right here.
Yes, that's good. I didn't want to go to California. We're too busy.
Right in Boston? Cambridge?
Cambridge, yes. Yeah. The Berkman Center.
And they were
hosting it.
Oh, you're hosting. When will it be?
It's going to be April...
Okay.
Four, five, six.
Well, I'd love to be there.